Hey, I'm Savin Gavia, and you are now listening to Can I Play a Play live every Sunday at 2:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Make sure you check out these good fellas at www.facebook.com/playaology. And also, make sure to get your copy of the new book entitled Who Is She and What Is She to You on Amazon or worldmovement.com. Can I Play a Play? Oh, pretty Tony. Put in a... I'm on an edge, you squeeze me
like you need me. It's literal that you... Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the show. This is your boy, K. Diddy, also called Lamont sometimes. Today, we're going to have another burner. We decided to do part two of our previous segment. My partner and I, Mr. Steve Trebernig, is on the line. Are you with us, sir?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, thank you for taking time to be on. Before we get going with today's show, I definitely want to give a shout-out to our good friend, Daniela, that wasn't able to make it with us. She took ill, but we definitely want to wish her a speedy recovery from everybody over here at Can I Play a Play, because she's definitely a soldier and a supporter, and we definitely want to wish her a speedy recovery, and hopefully we'll be able to get her on here one day soon.
Yeah, I agree. I think that she'd have some powerful information for, you know, homeowners that may be facing some of the toughest battles of their life. And a lot of times the difference between winning and losing a battle is just a little bit of new information that would be valuable in your fight. So looking forward to having her in the future. Now I'm with you. I hope that she gets well soon and continues her battle against some of the injustice of the big banks.
Oh, definitely. And it seems like every time we look up, we hear something new. I know we're going to have some people calling in shortly to share their stories with us, but today in the news, what are we talking about? Our favorite company, Bank of America, is what, getting bad customer service reports? Is that true? How could that be?
Yeah, I think they actually came up as one of the worst, you know, on the report that you're referring to. I believe it says, how bad is it? Our survey this year, Bank of America rated worst, and Comcast came in number two. So when you're a large institution like Bank of America and you're rating worse than a cable company, you might want to look at how do you go to the market and how you're treating your customers, because that's some a telltale sign that you're probably in the wrong direction and you need to turn that big ship around and start listening to your customers, in my opinion. I don't know. What's your take on it?
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that one. I guess I'm like a lot of people that I'm still stuck on stupid in the sense that I don't understand how, you know, our government is really allowing some of these things to go on that's affecting the homeowners here in the United States, particularly. I know we always hear in the news what's going on in other countries, and I'm very concerned and passionate and concerned about, you know, our brothers and sisters in other areas. But by the same time, I think we need to focus and fix the problems here at home. You know, can we take care of home first?
I agree. You know, how much more effective could we be if, as a nation, we, you know, fix the problems here at home so that we could reach out to other nations? You know, I always often worry about, like, our soldiers as they're fighting for our country. And here and back here at home, these banks are foreclosing on their homes. I mean, how does a soldier face a battle when in his mind he's worried about his family here at home or her family here at home? You know, that's tragic. And if we would take care of those first, and that soldier could go out there and have a clear mind and stay focused as to the direction that they're taking, and not just in battle but in every other area of the country too. If we're worried about losing our home here, how do we get food to the hungry children across the world? When we're worrying about getting food for our own children, how do we get shelter for the people that don't have shelter? When we're worried about shelter here at home. So if we would focus and bring this nation back to where it was at one point, strong and for the people, I believe we could be more effective all around. But it seems like, you know, we run around the world putting Band-Aids on a lot of problems that we can't completely solve because we have so many here at home to deal with as well.
It's really hard to fight. It's really hard to fight to save your home when somebody else is trying to take your home. I mean, you're fighting in a war somewhere else, but then behind your back, somebody's pulling the carpet out from under your feet.
Yeah, isn't that tragic? I mean, you know, you have soldiers that stand up and say, "Yeah, I'll go defend our country," and that very soldier, home is being stolen away. It's just amazing that we've come to that point. But I'm hoping that, you know, through sharing and through utilizing each other's wisdom and knowledge, that we can put an end to that completely, because there's absolutely no excuse for it. And I hope that anyone that's listening to this show, that's tuned in, that if you're going through something with these banks and you feel like you're not being heard, or that your phone call has been, you know, not returned, or had 20 different reps to deal with, I hope that you reach out and you share your story so that we can get the message that this type of customer service needs to stop. You know, we were the ones that helped build these companies when they were just a one-building shack on a dirt road. And I don't believe that they're thanking the customer the way they should by taking away their home just because they have a little bit more money and a lot more resources. And it's sad to see, but I think we come together, we can do something about it for sure.
You know what's the funny, what's ironic too, Steve, is these same people that are working at these lending institutions, if they look around, they're getting shut down all over the country. And guess what? You're the same people next year could be in the same situation. You could be in the identical same situation. You can't afford your home because you've lost your job. You know, you can't get a modification because your income and everything's changed. Now here you are, you're going to lose your home. Now, how are you going to feel about that?
Yeah, that's interesting, you know, and that's a great, great concept. Here you are lying to customers so that you can get, you know, a Target gift card, and that customer's losing their home. And you did it so much that the reputation of the bank is suffering to the point where now you're getting laid off. I hope that what comes around doesn't go around for the sake of all the people that were dishonest to the families that have lost their home. You know, if you hurt someone, you should be hurt too. I would hope that a lesson would be learned when you end up in the shoes of the customer that you lied to, and moving forward that you would change that decision and become better, that you would know that if a company is asking you to be dishonest, then that's probably not a place you need to be. There's no amount of money that you should be willing to accept to be dishonest. There's no amount of money. If you're going to sell out your integrity like that, like a lot of people have, just to keep a job, then you really got to take a second look at your character, because that's what is at play here. And I understand the tight times. I understand you try to provide for your family. You know, I have four children, and I care for my father as well, and times get tough. But there had been times in my life where I had to stand up and say, I will not support a company that is not honest. And I remember walking away from one company a week before we closed on our home. And my wife just about had a nervous breakdown, but I refuse to be part of hurting someone else. I will not be part of hurting someone else. So if the company takes that position, then we got to take the position we're not going to be there. And I'm telling you, those decisions, now I have the ability and flexibility to be there for my family in ways I never could have if I would have sold my integrity for the great mighty dollar. I mean, you kind of see where I'm coming from, I'm sure.
Totally. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Let me see. We have another caller here. Let me see who this may be that want to join us. 651, you're on live. A kind of play a play. Who's calling?
Hi, my name is Shane Warnke. I'm calling from Minnesota.
How you doing,
hey,
Shane? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Well, we're doing good. We're in the trenches like soldiers, and we out here trying to fight a good fight.
So, Shane, tell us what's going on. I know you well, and we've had a lot of conversations, but so that the listeners kind of know where you're coming from, how has Bank of America affected your life?
Oof, where do I start? Well, back in late 2008 when the market started to crumble, myself, like a lot of other Americans, tried to do a loan modification, and that's kind of where the debacle of games began. I was told on numerous occasions that they did not receive my paperwork, to which I promptly submitted my paperwork again, did that about 5 or 6 times, seeing that that was going nowhere. So my next course of action at that point in time was to try to do a short sale. Listed the home for short sale and, you know, showings every other weekend for 6 months and all that fun stuff. Finally, I had a buyer. Buyer submitted an offer, submitted the offer to Bank of America, and that's where the real fun and games began. They passed me around like a ball, assigned different agents almost weekly, never could get a straight answer. It was always having to wait for the approval of the investor. Come to find out the investor was either Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae. When it was all said and done, I had an offer for $160 on the house, and they ended up getting $134 for it at sheriff sale, which is, you know, considerably less than the offer that I had gotten. Over the course of all this, after I lost my home, I guess the end result was I had to quit college because I couldn't get a private student loan because of the foreclosure. So I'm in debt up to my elbows and student loans, and I don't have my bachelor's degree, and just every day it's the first thing I think about and the last thing I think about before I go to bed. It's just, I've written letters to my Congress people, some Michelle Bachmann here in Minnesota and Al Franken, get a generic reply every step of the way. It's like nobody wants to address this dead on, including, you know, politicians. So it's kind of where I'm at right now.
You call them politicians. I call them politrictions.
Yeah,
you know, it's
that might
unfortunate.
Be a whole other show.
Yeah, you know, they tell us, you know, they actually tell us one thing to get in office, and then actually they end up doing something else, and then they can't understand why American people don't really have a lot of faith in the process anymore.
Absolutely.
You know. So Shane, so throughout this process with Bank of America, and I know we've stepped in and we've tried to help, and I've kind of got the from Bank of America, even from my own contacts at Bank of America that supposedly have the pool needed, I was told that they're not going to do anything. But in addition to not accepting the short sale offer that you had for more than what they sold the property for, they destroyed your credit, made it impossible for you to get, you know, a student loan, and then greatly interfered with your entire future, right? I mean, that it was just the loss of the house.
Yeah, but that's a question I have as well, too, if I can just throw this one out there, too. And that's a lot of things people don't understand. When they go through stuff like that, it's not just a slam dunk. It's an ongoing situation. Now, how is this young man going to qualify for another home for his family?
That's just the thing, you know. I mean, part of my plan was, you know, to do what everybody else wants, is to get the, you know, obtain the American dream, to finish school, start a family, move on with my life. But, you know, in addition to the foreclosure, that's just where the pain and heartache began, was the foreclosure. It's the repercussions from that really affect you down the road, like you mentioned.
And I would tell you, knowing a little bit about Shane's history, it wasn't very long ago where he was held at honor at his job for taking a very delicate situation and making it a good one. Tell us about that story, Shane.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a correctional officer with the state of Minnesota, Minnesota Department of Corrections, and back in October I was working hospital duty, providing security for offenders that were at the hospital when a civilian patient had taken a nursing assistant hostage with a pair of scissors, and I was able to intervene and successfully quell the situation and essentially talk the man into surrendering the weapon. And, you know, that gentleman who was held hostage, you know, got to go home to his family that night. So.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, it's obvious that you have the moral fiber and the character that Americans are supposed to display, and it's unfortunate that, you know, the lending institutions and our government, our elected officials, are not there really to support us. I mean, that's the problem that I have, you know. And like Steve and I, we were talking earlier on about, you know, his project about reaching into the actual community and putting the help where it goes instead of giving it to these other politicians and let them further the problem that they've created.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about today, and it was a great point that K. Diddy brought up. It was that the, you know, Bank of America has the absolute worst customer service reputation, even over cable companies. I mean, they're obviously doing something that customers don't agree with. And with that, you know, you would think that a company would take a look at that and say, you know what, we're probably not handling these things the way that we should, and take some action. But instead, they continue to deny that they're even doing anything wrong. I know that they came out in the media recently and said that the six employees that stood up against their employer and said they were making us, they were giving us gift cards to foreclose on homes, Bank of America came back and said they're liars. When we know for a fact of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases that come through here where the homeowners tell me the exact same thing. They say, I was told to quit making my payments. I did, and then they foreclosed on my home. So we know there had to be something going on because nobody can lose that much paperwork. Nobody can not return that many phone calls on accident. It just wouldn't happen. So we know that they were doing this, but yet the bank will come back and say, no, the employees are liars. And, you know, in your case, here's an American hero stands up even after the fact, even after Bank of America hurt Shane. He didn't let it make him so bitter that he wasn't willing to stand up for this nurse and resolve this issue that could have been a very tragic situation. And these are the types of people that these banks hurt. They hurt these are the real Americans that are out there doing the very best they can, and even after they've been hurt, standing up. I have so many fans that come through our pages and things that they've already been through the process, but they refuse to let it go. They lost their home, but they said, I'm gonna make my voice heard, and they refuse to let it go. And that's powerful because, you know, sometimes we get through these battles and we want to just forget it, but that doesn't help the next person that's facing it. So, like Shane, I mean, you're going to stand up even after the fact, and you're going to, you know, be basically an American hero even after the Bank of America just about ruined your life. So that's pretty powerful, Shane. And, you know, I've always been honored to know you, and you know that. And I really
appreciate that, Steve. And, you know, for the listeners out there, the part of the whole situation I don't understand is if an ordinary citizen such as you or I would conduct half of which they have, we'd be in prison right now.
But yeah, no, you'd be under the prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you deal with the criminals that steal a loaf of bread to feed their family that are in prison, but yet someone could steal millions of homes and go to the golf course. So what would you say to Brian Moynihan, the CEO of Bank of America, if you could have a conversation with him? What would that be like?
Well, luckily now I've got more of my wits about me. Initially, obviously, I was upset, and I would have probably said things that weren't very, you know, wouldn't have gotten me very far. But just my biggest question to him would just be why? You know, what for?
Yeah.
Well, he probably couldn't pay the truth.
Oh, what's in the way?
Huh? What do you think he would say, Shane?
Shane, you still there?
We might have lost him for a second there.
Still there. Well, let's go to the next caller, and hopefully he'll chime back right in. 660, who's calling? Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Who am I speaking
Hi.
To?
Hello. I've made the decision to go public with my information. This is Valerie. I'm calling from Missouri. I've been researching and dealing with Bank of America since 2008.
Can we get your name again? I'm sorry, we didn't get that.
My name is Valerie Corpy.
Okay, welcome, Valerie. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hello. Well, we started dealing. My husband lost his job. We had a mortgage business, actually, and then we weren't willing to do the bad loans because we wanted to stay in our small town and have a decent reputation. So we closed that. My husband went into the automobile industry. He ended up losing his job. At the same time, my handicapped son's father, my ex-husband, was in a car wreck, so my child support ended. His insurance we were looking at losing, which we eventually did anyway. So we called Bank of America and said, within a year, we're going to need to modify our loan. And they said, well, wait until you get closer to the time, and then you can apply for a HAMP loan. So we waited, and they waited. They wanted us to wait until we were out of money. And we just wanted to put two payments on the end of our loan. We didn't think that was a big deal. Looking back, I should have just gone and got a 90-day note from my local bank. However, we started applying for the HAMP loan. They kept losing paperwork. We had so many FedEx applications. Actually, the dogs chewed a couple of them up that were just left on the porch. It got kind of ridiculous. We kept getting into, that person's no longer here, use that person. My husband finally got email contact with a woman. Her initials were DT, and he faxed her everything she asked for. We thought, we're in underwriting, blah, blah, blah. Eventually, they asked for a rental agreement, and I got suspicious, so I started researching. What I found, my bank was America's Wholesale Lender Corporation. That was not a corporation in 2008, according to the Secretary of State of New York. There are lawsuits that stated such. Then I have I looked on the Fannie Mae website. It says my loan was owned by them. Then I went to, let's see, then I started finding out why they needed to foreclose. One of the reasons was apparently they make more money if they foreclose. Then I found out about the fact that they take out something called mortgage insurance, sometimes more than one policy per loan. So the day my house hit 90 days, they got paid, according to what I've read. Then, let's see, so we talked to an attorney. My attorney wasn't quite understanding that this bank never existed. Eric Schneiderman calls them liar loans. I believe he's the Attorney General of New York. Anyway, we went to court. They were unable to produce my note. So I went to the courthouse, and I had just read an article about robo-signers, and one of my guys was called Swaroopus Lee, and he was listed as one of the most prolific robo-signers of 2011. His name was on the bottom of my assignment, or whatever. Anyway, I started looking for his signature, got lucky one day. I have four different signatures for him. None of them match. My vice president, I have a Marianne Heerman. She was a vice president and an executive of MERS at the same time. My loan has appeared as active and inactive on the MERS website. Meanwhile, we go to federal court. My lawyer got disbarred in the middle of all this. I was turned over to his daughter. She sent me paperwork. Oh, the assignment said from America's Wholesale Lender, DBA Countrywide. It wasn't even the same bank. We've missed all the title chains from America's to Fannie Mae wasn't even listed on there. And so Bank of America, right before we went
to
federal
court. This
radio
show thing, I got cut off.
Hello, I'm sorry. Hello?
That was someone else speaking, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I got... they dropped my foreclosure before we went to federal court, so that my judge or my lawyer didn't even tell us we were going to federal court. Right before that, Bank of America dropped our foreclosure, and we had RICO charges. And they said because they dropped our case, then all of that was moot. Didn't matter. They wouldn't be pressing any charges. And they said there was no paper trail of HAMP fraud, which we had emails, we had what we thought. Anyway, I don't know what to do at this point. Within 3 days, Bank of America sent us another modification, and the bank didn't ever exist. I don't know what to do. Countrywide even was sued by that real bank. And so I thought, I'm going public. Here I am.
You're going to like this information. Okay. American Wholesale Lending was a DBA, like you said, off of Countrywide. And when American Wholesale Lending was doing business in all the other states, including New York, you know, Countrywide took that DBA so that they could circumvent the rules and regulations for mortgages in all the states, so they could kind of fly beneath the radar.
Right.
Well, there was some problems with the recording of American Wholesale Lending, because you can't record title under a DBA. A lot of the recorders, you know, the county recorders were calling that out, but not much was getting done about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, American Wholesale Lending, DBA, is not owned by Bank of America. Matter of fact, I just emailed the owner of American Wholesale Lending. I'm trying to get him on the call now. He refuses.
They have two different banks. Aren't they two different banks, the DBA and the corporation?
Nope. A DBA is just doing business as. So you got Countrywide doing business as American Wholesale Lending.
Okay, that was the assignment, but my originator was corporation.
American or Countrywide Corp?
No, America's Wholesale Lender Corporation was my originator. The assignment was DBA. They weren't even the same.
They're not, yeah.
No.
I hope he calls in, because I'm going to put you in touch with the person that actually has the title interest to your property. It's not Bank of America, which puts you in a very good position. The reason they can't provide the paperwork back to the origination is because it doesn't exist. And if you went to court, if they drug you into court, it would be really similar to that case that was just brought out in Supreme Court, where, listen to this, Supreme Court upheld the lower court's decision that foreclosure requires clear ownership of mortgage, whether the homeowner missed a payment is immaterial. Further, the court ruled that the purported creditor must show how it acquired the mortgage and must prove that it has standing to claim the property. Neither U.S. Bank Corp nor Wells Fargo could do so. Neither could show clear chain of title, transfers of wet ink notes from origination through the bank trying to foreclose. So that was just a recent case. So I'm here to say you have a lot of leverage. Of course they want to do a modification, because then they can get your wet ink signatures on something new.
Right, and I'm not giving it to them. I'm not. They can't modify what they don't own.
They don't own it, right. So I would say I can't give you advice whether or not to take the modification. I'd leave that up to an attorney, but I would say I would like to get you on the phone or in communication with the owner of American Wholesale Lending, and he can better explain that position.
And I can't find an attorney that I trust, because I talked to one that was well recommended by this other alleged home help guy for foreclosures, and he said, oh, do a modification. And a red flag went up. Really? I have given you all this information, which is a pretty clear case to me from everything I've read. Pagano and Silverstein both won against America's Wholesale Lender Corporation. It's the note that proves the fraud. These loans. Yeah. God bless you.
I think maybe the first question we need to start asking these attorneys, do they have any stocks in Bank of America?
Right?
Yeah. I agree. I think I know that Kay Diddy and I, we've been working on a California case where we've been struggling to find an honest attorney. And this poor homeowner, if you've seen her story, woman gives kidney BOA
skills. I saw
home.
That. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So that's the story. So we're working on, finding her an honest attorney. Now, I have found an honest attorney in Florida, and I was going to have her on the show today. Kay Diddy was. She was going to be on with us, and she has got laryngitis so bad she can't talk. but I guarantee you she has got laryngitis for screaming at Bank of America, because this
is what
she does all day long, is battle the bank. And what she knows and the quality of her knowledge, she, there was a case I was working on from New Hampshire, and within 30 seconds she sent me back exactly what needs to be done, how it needs to be filed, and the direction to take it. And she, on another case, on the case of the California family that we've been working with, Adrian, she said, you find an attorney out there that's willing to stand in court, and I'll send them everything they need to win that. So, I mean,
see,
there
I have a daughter that's a paralegal. I have a daughter that's a paralegal, and if I could just, I mean, to get started, to find an attorney, I mean, we could, I gave my attorney all the paperwork, and the man told me originally that he would do, you know, enough of these, and then Bank of America would come along and give him a bunch of money, and he would go away. And I just can't help but wonder, I mean, he didn't even call us to tell us we were going to federal court. And
Here's what I've seen with the American wholesale lending stuff. And just keep this in your mind. Here's what I've actually seen in modifications. They're so scared of those that modifications, they've have greatly reduced the principal. And 2%, the modifications are 2% interest for 5 years, and then it maxes out at 3.75 after 5 years for the term of the note.
Okay.
And in some cases, the payments have went from $2,500 a month down to like $800 a month on those modifications. So I've seen that. Are those
legal
modifications?
Well, they offered us $30,000 off of our at one point, they didn't want to go to court. They offered $30,000 off of our principal, but that still didn't fix my title. And I said, no, I want to know where my note is. And so then we went to court. So maybe I should, I don't know. Anyway.
Well,
Steve.
I
wanted my investors.
You...
So that's what I want. I want to talk to my investors, you know, give me them.
Yeah.
They're the only ones that can modify. Is that not right?
Yeah, I've heard it both ways. I've heard where the servicers have claimed that, you know, that the investor can't, but there's a case that we're working on now where the servicer refused to modify, and so we went to the investor to see if we can get the investor to, and it sounds like they may. So I think it's, you know, the servicer is just an employee of the investor. It's kind of like the landlord.
Right.
You know, they, so shouldn't the actual, and even though they don't want to be involved, that's why they hired a servicer, but shouldn't the person who has the title interest in the property be able to make a decision that supersedes the servicer? Absolutely.
Well, that's another interesting thing on this, on the MERS. But, they said they sold my loan to Merrill Lynch, which they own. This was just a couple weeks ago. It no longer shows up on Fannie Mae. And when you go to the MERS website, it says Bank of America is my investor.
Wow. Well, if you need some help with that, here's what I would need. I would just need a short version of what you told us.
Okay.
I need exactly what you want from Bank of America and a loan number. That's all I need.
Okay.
I can get that over to Bank of America and see what kind of resolution we can get. But you have a very strong case. You got a lot of people in your court, and I hope that that the owner of American Wholesale Lending calls in so you can hear. He can answer your questions really well, and hopefully he's available. I was going to talk to him before the show today, but we just couldn't fit it in. But, he's actually the one that can give you clear title because he owns that name.
Okay.
We have our California case calling in, so I'm going to click her in. I'm sure she has something to add to
Thank
it.
Thank you so much.
Shane, don't go away. I see you there.
I'm on the line.
All right. 382, you on?
Hi.
Hello.
It's Adrian from California. Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
welcome
Adrian.
To the show. Hi, Adrian.
Hey, Steve. I just want to tell you thank you for all that you're doing.
Oh, my pleasure. It's a blessing to be a blessing. I'm just going to say that. You're a sweetheart, and I just, you know, your case breaks my heart, and obviously a lot of others. I see you got 10,000 or more views just on your video in a week. That's powerful. You stood up huge. Said, "No, I'm not gonna roll over." And you sent a clear message out that you're not gonna become another victim. You're gonna become another success story. So I tip my hat to you. I just try to be the catalyst to get the information out there. And anyone listening to this show, just remember, if there's something you need to share, I'm the guy that can get it done for you. So you send me the link or an email or whatever you need, I will share it. But, Adrian, you're a very special person. I know you know that because I see all the support out there for you. And you're not alone anymore. So how does it feel to go from defense to offense?
It feels great.
Yeah.
You know, so much time keeping everything to myself and not saying anything to anyone. You know, so nobody really knew, not anyone close to me or my family. My family is just finding out like the last week.
How did they respond?
Well, I was surprised. My brother told me he loved me, and it was if there was anything that he could do, that you know, he'd support me no matter, you know, what I decided to do. And he was proud of me because, you know, I've always been kind of a fighter, you know, the little sister. You know, I always had a lot of protection. I had 5 older brothers and an older sister, so I had all this protection. So I was always the strong, silent one. But, he told me I have a lot of my mom's traits. And when he saw the video, he said he cried. So my son did, too. And I guess that's the gist of it.
So what made you decide to go public?
Somebody have a whole lot of background noise. Could you turn down the background noise, please? Is this bleeding through?
Yeah, there you go.
I hear somebody's TV.
Hey, Shane, can you hit mute? There you go. So what made you decide to go public? I know that's a tough choice. You got your name out there, and Adrian, and what that takes a lot of inner strength, but what was it that kind of all of a sudden pulled that trigger?
Well, I've been fighting everything by myself. I mean, Bank of America took me down. They were accepting paperwork. Oh, they can stop the sale up until, you know, the day of the sale. So they, up until 4 days before my foreclosure sale date, Bank of America, an office, was literally taking paperwork from me. I didn't have any idea, because I still don't, of why they wouldn't accept the loan or anything. It was never like, well, your credit's bad or you don't make enough or anything. They never told me anything. It was always resubmit. It's with a workout negotiator. It's in review. So, you know, basically I was doing, you know, all of these things by myself. And it came down to where they had an unlawful detainer. My next-door neighbors are both attorneys, and they happen to have a friend who did the video. And Banking Bad, you know, a total stranger. My friend asked him to do it, and he's like, you know, he doesn't normally call me for things, you know, but I wanted to see what I could do. And then, you know, I guess after talking to me, he decided he was to come up and kind of see me. And then we got into the video, and he turned it into what it is, because, you know, I was kind of prepared because I've been going through this for so long. And another one of my traits, my brother says, it's like my mom, I keep notes, and I'll write it on anything and everything, and I write down times and dates. And so I was able to basically hit the highlights of what I've been going through since 2009, because I was not delinquent when I went to Bank of America. I'd used my savings, because, you know, I got hit like in 2007, 2008. So I was, you know, using my savings, you know, manipulating to try to stay up. When I finally realized I couldn't do it anymore, I contacted the bank. I had never been late, never missed a payment when I contacted the bank. Oh, they sent the stuff out. I was able to fax it back in, and then I mailed the hard copies to them. And, you know, I'm like, okay, this is, you know. And every couple of weeks I would call them, and it turned into one thing after another. Then finally, like 4 months in, I'd made a payment and another half a payment. I'd been told not to make payments the first time was because it was going straight to interest and not principal. The next time was so I would qualify. Then, like 4 months in, someone was kind enough to tell me, oh, well, because you were not delinquent, we didn't look at your account. This was on like August 9th. They didn't look at my account until July 27th from March. So for 4 months, my account got set aside because I wasn't delinquent. But each time you call in, you're in review. Your paperwork's being looked at. You're in review. And they update your information, but they hadn't looked at your file. I'm like, wow. So it's been one thing after another. I went to the court out to, you know, to try to research, you know, chain of title. My loan went from the original group that I bought, that I got it from, to Countrywide. I made Countrywide payments for like 2 years. Countrywide never shows up on the title. Bank of America, which took over from Countrywide in 2009, they didn't show up on title at all. I was there in May of 2012. There was nothing from Bank of America. This is from 2009. So, miraculously, when they started sending me paperwork from their attorney, there was something filed at the court, the county records from Bank of America from 2011. I was like, okay. But when I was there, I took pictures. Because you can take pictures with your phone. I took pictures of what was listed on there. Because you can list your address and everything, and it gives you everything that's happening on that property. And Bank of America wasn't there. But miraculously, their attorney could come up with paperwork from 2011. Oh, so it's just been one thing after another. Latest paperwork I just got Friday from Bank of America told me that they weren't going to give me any paperwork. They weren't the lien holder. I had to go through somebody else. I was like, oh, okay. But this is 2013.
Who are they saying that you need to go through
that company wouldn't happen to have been Portfolio Servicer or some one of those other generic company names, would it?
Yes, that's a Portfolio Servicing Company. They're the ones that's sending me mortgage statements. 2012.
Does that sound like another Bank of America company, Steve?
Well, no, not necessarily Bank of America, but, you know, there's not a lot of good press on Portfolio Servicing or Select Portfolio. If Danielle would be on the line, she'd fill you in on exactly what's going on with, you know, those servicing companies. They're not very good at all. They got more complaints than they do compliments, of course. They, you know, there's so many problems with those. And I think, like I was explaining to Bank of America on behalf of Adrian when I was talking to Daniel, I said, you know, he says, well, we're not servicing it anymore. And I said, Daniel, that's not an excuse. Okay, you did the damage. The damage happened while it was with Bank of America. You know, that's like me going and assaulting somebody. And when the cop comes to my door, a person answers the door and says, no, Steve, don't live here anymore. That doesn't get you off the hook, okay? So what we were asking was that they would undo what has been done, that they would void the unlawful detainer, void the sheriff's sale, and actually modify the loan like they promised Adrian in the get-go. And that wouldn't 100% undo all the damage that they've done because of the emotional and the stress and everything else. But that would be a good place to start. And I called them a couple Thursdays ago, and I said, it was right before the video went public, I said, you got to the end of the business day on Friday to at least show me an attempt of a void of unlawful detainer or we're moving forward with social media. And when I say we're social media, we have, you know, over almost 14,000 fans on the 15 different Facebook fan pages, including Keep Bank of America Honest, Keep Wells Fargo Honest, Keep Chase, with a 2.5 million reach. Twitter has a 9.7 million reach. And we have press release sites and press release distribution channels and all our affiliates. So the idea is that when they hurt a family like Adrian, and we give them an opportunity to make it right and they don't, then we're going to publish it. Now, if they would have came through, we would have published that as well. We would have said Bank of America voids the unlawful detainer and starts working towards a resolution for California Family. That's what it would have been. Unfortunately, they didn't do that. So our role in it is to just put a glass window right on the front of the corporation, and whatever, you know, they do is what the public gets to see. That way the public can be fully educated as to if they want to do business with that corporation in the future. That's kind of the idea. But I know that last conversation I had with Daniel, that it was, Adrian, I would tell you that they definitely got it on the deck at Bank of America as very concerned. I'm optimistic that they'll come through at some point. Of course, I can't guarantee anything, but the heat is on, and, you know, media is aware of this. Everyone's kind of watching it to see if Bank of America comes through. So, you know, I know there's a lot of people praying for you and to give you the strength and to see you through this one way or another. But what's most impressive is that you stood up. You stood up, and you said, you know what, I'm coming forward. And our other caller, too, was it Karen?
Yes, she's still on the line.
Karen steps up and says, you know what, I'm coming forward. I'm stepping up. You know, I don't want to have this misunderstood by anyone listening. I'm not saying Bank of America is mafia, but it is like mafia in a community where everybody's afraid to say anything, and then the first person steps up, and then the second one does, and then the third one does. And that's what happens. It, you know, in the United States, as we step forward and we make our voice heard across the nation, and we say, no, you're not going to do this to me or any other family. That's where the strength is at. So I want to be able to be that voice for, you know, if you don't have the distribution or you don't think that, you know, what you say matters, it does matter. Get it to me. I'll get the distribution out for you. Write the stories, how it affected your family, how it affected you emotionally, what it's done, and get those stories to me. You know, we don't have to include names. You can put initials, you can do whatever you need to do, but get the stories to me so I can publish those and get them out there so that, you know, our voice gets heard. And so I just appreciate you, Adrian. You're just you get so much strength, and Karen, so much strength, and Shane, again, so much strength to come forward and tell everyone your story.
Well, I want to tell you that the banking bad, he made it so simple, because it was like he was having a conversation with me. And, you know, you could tell your story. And it was like, okay, well, you know, it's simple. You know, someone's here listening. And he's like, well, are you ready for this? He said, because once we get it out there, it's out there. And I'm like, you know, I am. And he calls, you know, daily to make sure that I'm okay and to make sure that, you know, if anything's happening, and then I get I'll get an email from you. So it's a lot easier. But, you know, the sad thing is, on my petition, I was reading my sister. She's been banking with them for like 45 years, for forever. And a close friend, a family friend that I've known all my life, lost her home, same way with Bank of America. I never knew. I never knew she was even fighting for it or anything. I had no clue.
That's one thing that we had mentioned earlier, too, that, you know, there's a lot of people that are going through this and have gone through this, but for whatever reason, I don't know if it's a pride thing or they feel like they failed some kind of way, but it's nothing that anybody's done personally. This is a nationwide thing. It's happened to a lot of families. It's a lot of people that's done that. So, you know, that's one of the things that the bank feed on, is the fact that people aren't coming forward. They're not fighting. They're not doing anything. You know, they're not saying anything. They don't know where to go or who to talk to. They can't go to the attorneys because, again, you know, I'm not having very good luck with attorneys. But you go to them for advice, you know, and it seems like all they worrying about is, you know, feeding their families or sending their kids to school at the end of the day, but they're not really realizing the end result that it has on these families that's going through this experience, this thing at the moment.
Yeah, that's a powerful point. And the thing is, too, if what you learn about this life really quickly is as you create value for others, the value always comes back to you. And, you know, for the attorneys, there's some good ones out there, and I know we're going to work on getting a list of really good attorneys. And if you have a good attorney that's working with you and getting things done, please email me. Let me get them some publicity, because I get a lot of requests for good attorneys. But like Danielle Kelly that is out ill today, that's going to be on the show, she's one of the good ones. And, I mean, when you see what she does and for family. So I know that they are good ones out there, and I know that there's bad ones out there. In every industry, you see both. So let's expose both. Let's expose the ones that don't get it done, that take your money and run and hide under the rock, and let's expose the ones that do. And I'm not afraid. I sent 300 attorneys an email from Bank of America last week, and I let them know, you know, you're part of this. You were representing a company that's committing fraud, therefore you're going to be listed in the complaint for fraud as that you knew it was happening and you did it anyway. Attorneys are accountable at a higher level than the basic citizen because they are supposed to know the law and uphold it. So our expectation of them is the same as of a police officer. You can't abuse your power and authority. So we got to hold them too. And I don't care. You want to come try to sue me, like I said on the show earlier, when I get subpoenas in the mail, I rejoice because I know that I'm going to make an impact. And every problem that comes to us, it makes us better. It makes us stronger. It makes us more diligent. And it gives us a backbone of steel. So next time a problem comes, we just look at it and we go, you know what? That problem just met its match. It also, the problems give us empathy so that we can understand what others are truly going through. It puts us in their shoes so we can say, yeah, I've been there, and I'm going to help you walk through this. I'm going to help you walk right out of this problem. So it's powerful. But if you have a good attorney and you're listening to this show, please get it over to me, and you can do that. Can I give them can I pimp my email on here?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
Throw it out.
I'm not, you can call me, email me, private message me on any of the sites. I will respond. So my email is stevetriebe@gmail.com, stevetriebe@gmail.com. And I will do all I can to get your message out and to give you the resources or tools you need. I don't have all the answers for sure, and I'm learning a lot every day. But I do have a pretty big circle of influence, and if we reach out to them, they may be able to give you some answers for exactly what you need, and I'm glad to do it. So, and if you, like I said, good attorneys, anybody in the process that you found that do an outstanding job, we want to know about it, because I want to bring those businesses all up to the next level, and I want to help close the door on the businesses that are hurting families.
Absolutely. And I also want to concur, if anyone's listening, attorneys, homeowners, and want to come on the show and tell us about your situation, or if you had something positive you'd like to add or have something that could help somebody else, our office number is 323-957-7322, and you could always email me at lamont@worldmovement.com, and we'll get you on the show and get you connected with Steve or whoever else that, you know, may be able to assist you, because that's actually what we're here for. We are a station or show that's actually trying to do more than talk the talk. We're actually trying to walk the walk.
Wow, that's great. Shane, are you still on the line?
I think Shane hung up. I was definitely trying to click him back over, but...
Yeah, he was nice enough to call in. He was doing a family event, and I said, man, you know, I know it's tight sometimes to get it done, but call in and tell your story and get it out there. He's been really having a tough time with it. I mean, it was like with most families, it was a life-changing event that took his ship that was headed towards success and started turning it the wrong direction. I know that he has it in him to be successful, and I've seen him. I've met with him, and I've talked to him, and same with the callers that are on the line now. You guys have success in your bones, or you wouldn't be here. This is what it's built on. It's built on standing up, and not only for yourself but for others. And so I'm encouraged by it, and I'm just so thankful to know everybody. You know, the best things in this life come sometimes in very ugly packages, and I get to meet some of the best people in this world through some very, very traumatic situations. And at the end of the day, I always say, man, I know we met under bad circumstances, but I'm so honored to know you. I'm just so honored to know you.
Well, that's definitely powerful within itself, man. You definitely got a beautiful spirit, Steve, and a heart of gold and a genuine guy. And I'm honored to know you. And I guess knowing you, I'm a better person because I'm definitely feeding off your energy. And hopefully the people that have been listening to the show, I guess I was remiss and got kind of caught up in the conversation. We do have 4 more minutes left in the show, and the number is 646-929-2870, and I apologize for throwing that out there earlier, but we have no problem doing another show along these lines because we are here to help, and hopefully we can get Steve to come back if his schedule permits. But you can always go and listen to this show, blogtalkradio.com/playits and archives. If you missed anything, you can go there and get it. You can get our contact information from there. We hope you definitely pass the show along to some of your friends because that's where our power is. That's where our power is. Our power is in the whole community. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just have one more good thing. I just wanted to see the petition that a complete stranger by the name of Susan started for me. We have over 1,000 supporters now on our petition. It was just started a few days ago.
Wow.
Oh, I just wanted to let you guys know that.
That's powerful. You're loved by a lot of people, and, you know, I know that every homeowner out there that's struggling just got to know there's a lot of support. Tap into it, please. There's so much support for you. You're not alone in this fight.
No, not by far. There's a lot of people out here, and we can't say it enough. You are not alone. Don't be ashamed. Do not let your pride stand in the way of you getting help. You could get help. Do not let that stop you from talking to people. We know it's hard. We know it's hard. But you have to do that. I mean, you cannot enable the lending institutions or these banks or these people to continue to get away with what they're doing. If you don't stand up, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, just a quick story. Years ago, I went to the state capitol to try to defend about 12,000 homes from foreclosure, and I was facing foreclosure myself. And I know the media guy, his name was Tom Lydon from Fox News. He goes, "Steve, do you realize the exposure you're going to bring on yourself?" And I said, "You know what, Tom? There's no pride big enough for me not to stand up for my family. There's nothing that's going to prevent me from standing up for my family and for my home. It doesn't matter anymore. Pride doesn't count when we're trying to do what we're supposed to do as parents, as fathers, as friends. Pride doesn't play a role anymore. If you had a friend that was dying from cancer and it took standing up for them to get them through it, you would do it in a second. And there's families that are dying. They're being crushed by these banks. Divorces are dying. Relationships are dying. The family unit is dying. And we got to stand up and say, you know what? No, it's not happening. You can expose it all you want." And so, yeah, I appreciate that.
Definitely. Well, we're down to the last 90 minutes of the show, and definitely I want to thank everybody for joining us today, and hopefully we were able to touch some of you listeners out there and you got something positive that you can take away and utilize to help your situation. We will be back next week, same bat channel, same bat time, 2:30, blogtalkradio.com/player. Come out next week, and hopefully we'll have some more positive information for you to help you on your journey. Again, I want to thank all our callers, all our listeners, and anything we could do, please feel free to reach out to us. And thank you again. Steve, you're a blessing.
Well, thank you for having me. You know, I feel honored to be on your show, Lamont, and to know you. And like I said, you know, sometimes great things come in tough situations, and it certainly is great to know you.
Absolutely, and we're going to keep it going. We're going to keep it going. So y'all tune in with us next week, same time, and hopefully we'll be able to get our attorney friend on here with us soon and to enlighten and join us. Kind of play a play.
Focus, baby, you just focus. Cause they try to bring you down, but they can't, and they know this. That ride is black, is showing. Them drugs you got is potent. Got them cheering at my shows in. I say stop, but you keep going. That money that I'm blowing, if you want it, you should show it.
Now everybody trying to hit me up. If you stressed, then turn that ditty up. And just
stay posted. See this girl to notice. Now that baby girl just focus. See you trying to get promoted. Nah, ay, ay, ay,
okay.
Ay, 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 ay.
Life short, yeah, you need to live it to the fullest. I'll show you how to do this. Just don't be so foolish. If you focus, you could do it. Just make sure you're into it. Yeah, just like your crew is chilling, cause we are the coolest. Keep doing your thing. My dream was to be in that range. My attitude's stained, and I won't change. Best of the best, like imported cocaine.
Now everybody trying to hit me up. If you stressed, then turn that ditty up. And just
stay posted. See this girl to notice. Now that baby girl just focus. See you trying to get promoted. Nah, ay, ay, ay,
okay.
Ay, 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 stay posted. See this girl to notice. Now that baby girl just focus. See you trying to get promoted. Nah, ay, ay, okay. Ay,
everybody trying to hit me up. If you stressed, then turn that ditty up. And just
focus. Baby, just focus.